Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody here today. Wyatt, you dared me to do something, right? So this is Wyatt's challenge to me today. He said I could have these. Did you mean to keep?
No.
No? Well, so there we go. He dared me to do it. I did it. Wyatt, you really need to clean your glasses. I thought mine were bad. If you would, please take and turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 92, and we're going to actually be looking at verses 1 through 15, not just through 1 through 4. I decided to do the whole chapter. And, of course, we're talking about Thanksgiving, obviously, Thursday. Who has plans to eat as much as what they can on Thursday? Who has plans to take a nap on Thursday? Who has plans to watch the Macy's Day Parade on Thursday? Who said no? I should have known it. You got my glasses dirty now, Wyatt. No. All of us probably have different traditions. Watching football or a movie or whatever. Eating, taking the nap. Eating. And I heard somebody mention just a little bit ago that as long as it was blessed once, you don't have to bless it every time you go to eat it that day. Is that true, Pastor? Well, okay. So my thing, if you're having the same meal at supper that you had at lunch or dinner or whatever, it might be a good idea just to go ahead and bless it again. You just never know, like he said, what happened. But today, of course, yeah, we're talking about giving thanks to God. And that's our subject today. Psalm 95:1, before we get into the verses from 92, Psalm 95, verse 1 says this: "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." You know, when we're talking about giving thanks and being thankful, before we get into the heart of it, there's some the introduction that I want to talk about, about what giving thanks does. And you kind of touched on it a little bit there, Laura. I appreciate that. But our being thankful pleases the Lord. You ever think about that? Our being thankful pleases the Lord. Think about this a bit. Does God have to have our thankfulness? No. He's God. He doesn't have to have it. God does not actually need our thankfulness. He doesn't need our love. He wants it. He desires it. But, I mean, He is God. He doesn't need anything in the way that we understand or the way that we define need. But we can be sure that God rejoices when we do give Him thanks, when we do express our love and our thankfulness to Him, that He rejoices in when we express His goodness, His kindness, and when we are thankful for His answers to prayer. You know, God even rejoices when we give Him thanks when He helps us find our car keys. How many times have you lost your car keys? You don't have car keys. Oh, okay. All right, how many times, who has said that they've lost their car keys at least 5 times this last year? Or couldn't find them? Maybe not lost them, but couldn't, you know, you misplaced them. Yeah, you better have your hand up. Okay? And how many times did we pray, because we were in a rush, God, if you just hurry up and let me find these keys. And if you didn't realize it, the keys were the last place you look. Right? That one went right over top of his. But even when we give Him thanks for finding a simple thing of car keys or our wallet or whatever, you know, when we start to make a practice of giving thanks for the small things, what we think are small things, that builds us up, as Laura was saying, to give thanks, especially in the big things, when we're having trials or whatever it may be. Being thankful is good for us. Now, Laura went into a lot of different ways than what I was thinking, but when we take time to review all the good things God has done for us, our hearts are filled with joy. Our faith is increased. And taking time to give thanks for how God has touched us, we can be optimistic about the future. When we think of when we give Him thanks about how many times He's helped us in the past, touched us in the past, helped us through difficult times, we know that he's going to continue to be with us in the future, no matter what comes. Our being thankful is good for those around us. When people hear us giving thanks for what he has done, that just might be our testimony to help lead somebody to Christ. I've heard people talk about how they were in a, and it's happened to us a couple times, when you're at a restaurant and you're giving thanks for your meal, and somebody comes up and says, you know what, that just touched me that I saw you praying in public like that, or giving thanks and that right there in front of everybody. To be honest, I believe that if we are not showing gratitude, or if we have no gratitude in our heart, how can we truly be any type of witness for God to what he's done if we have no gratitude in our heart? If we're just hard-hearted out there, how is that being any type of a good witness anyway to what Christ has done for us? Our testimony is more than just telling others about Christ and how we came to know him. It's actually expressing joy and showing a smile once in a while that people can see it, and the thankfulness that we have. And our being thankful can even impact people beyond our ever knowing it. When we're thankful, it could touch somebody that we may never know about until we get up into heaven, and how somehow our thankfulness spread to them some way, somehow. Whether they saw it, or maybe our thankfulness spread to, like, Steve's thankfulness spread to me because he put me in a good mood one day, one Sunday morning, and I expressed it to somebody else, but it started with Steve. So how it can spread when we're thankfulness to even those that we never thought or even knew about. The influence of a grateful heart moves beyond us, influencing others. Many people can be blessed if we follow the invitation of the Psalms to give thanksgiving to God. When you look at the Psalms, we see that over and over and over. Come, let us rejoice. Come, let us give thanks. Come, let us worship. And there's other parts of the Psalms, I get it, but when you look at the Psalms, there's so many times it repeats over and over and over. Let us give thanks. Be joyful. So if you would, please stand with me, because we're going to look at Psalm 92, verses 1 through 15. Sorry. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of the iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold, your enemies shall perish, and the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also have seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Lord Jesus, we again thank you and praise you. Father God, we come to you in thankfulness and just for who you are, through your Holy Spirit, you've touched us in so many different ways. And we simply come to you this morning in joyfulness and giving you our thankfulness. We give you thanks today. But help us to realize it's not just one day or one time period of the year. Each and every day, we can give you thanks and express it in so many different ways. Lord, most of all, we come to you today giving you thanks for who you are, our Lord and Savior, the one who's gone to the cross and died for us and been raised to life and the promise of your return. Again, we praise you and thank you. We ask you now to bless us through this message today. Open our eyes, our ears, and especially our hearts to what you have for us today. We pray this in your loving name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today we're looking at what when we give thanks and what takes place when we do that. And let us give thanks to God for different things. And the first thing that we're talking about today is let us give thanks to God for His character. Now, in your bulletins, and I didn't bring mine up with me, there's an extra sheet. Thank you, sweetheart. Isn't she great? Give her a round of applause. She's always got me covered. Now, in your bulletins, I gave you a little extra sheet. Now, I'm not going to have to fill out anything, but we're just going to talk about a few things there about the character traits of God in just a moment. The Bible reveals God to be personal. And you ever think about it, He is personal to us. He's not just a statue or whatever, or anything like that. He loves us. He shows it in so many different ways. He is powerful. And He is always present with us. The Bible reveals our Lord to be righteous. God characterized by integrity and justice. The Bible reveals Abba, Father, to be our Heavenly Father. To be trustworthy, reliable, and merciful. We should always, in every situation, thank and praise God for being the kind of God He is. Without ever having, you know, a special blessing of finding your car keys or whatever it may be, we should just automatically be thankful for God for who He is. 1 Chronicles 6:8 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people." So I just want to take a brief moment, and we're not going to go through every single one of these, and I challenge you today that when you go home, who knows how to do Google or Bing or some type of search engine? Okay? I challenge you today to go home and do it before Thursday and look up the character traits of God. And just look at how many things come up about who God is and what He is. But one of the things I just want to touch on real quick, omnibenevolence, God's all good nature. You know, sometimes we get mixed up and we look at the Old Testament and we also think, well, God was kind of cruel at times. But He wasn't really cruel, He was just. But God has a good nature. Psalm 105 says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." Omnipotence, God's unlimited power. Colossians 1:16, "For by Him all things are created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him." Eternity. I'm not going in line, just in case you're wondering. Eternity. God's existence beyond time. Psalm 90, verse 2. "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Before creation, He was God. You know, in our human minds, it's hard at times to truly comprehend every aspect of God. In fact, I truly believe this. It's impossible on this side of eternity to truly understand every aspect or every character trait about God. Now, we may think we do, but I think there's also a lot of times that we don't get it all. I don't think we can on this side of eternity. One of those things for me, I'll be the first to admit, is truly understanding how this thing called eternity works in relationship to God. Because a lot of times when we think about eternity, we are thinking about what? Our eternity to come. But yet in our human minds, we think of everything has to have what? A beginning. I mean, the earth had a beginning, creation. But God has no beginning. He simply has always been. There's a lot of different times that we have questions. You know what? And that's okay. Because the Bible tells us that a lot of times we're going to have to take things on simple what? Faith. God is not going to tell us everything about himself. He gives us certain insights, but we're always going to have those questions, just exactly what it means, and sometimes God just says, trust me. Trust me. Holiness, God's separation from sin. 1 John 1:5. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. I'm touching on that incomprehensibility, God's unknowable nature. Psalm 145:3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Now, like I said, when you get a chance before Thursday, that's my challenge to you. Look up all the character traits, or look up the character traits and just see what all pops up there. And see and try to come see what scripture you can pick those up in. But continuing on with let us give thanks. Let us give thanks to God for the church. For the church. Yes, we are grateful. Thankful for our local church here at Locust Grove. But we also should be thankful for other churches where the truthfulness of God is still preached. Where the truth is still told from the pulpit or taught in the Sunday school classes. Where it's still preached. Through God's church, God has blessed children with godly parents. And I don't mean not only their physical parents, but parents that they had at church. Lori and I were talking here about a friend of ours. It's from the church that I grew up in. Her parents did not go to church. She started coming to Seatonville. And a group of ladies kind of took her under their wing and really helped her out in a lot of different ways. Through God's church, God through the years has passed down the good news of his love. Through God's church, he has provided us with leadership, with worthy examples of following that leadership. You look from when the church first began, we've been talking about Acts on Wednesday nights. And you look at leadership through the years. I'm not saying they were all ever perfect. We know better. But we looked at the leadership that the church, God's church, has had since the beginning. Through God's church, God has provided us friendships, made us part of the biggest family of the world. Our church family extends beyond Locust Grove. Our church family extends beyond Mawikwa, beyond the church of today even. Our church family includes those believers who are yet to believe, those who are yet to come to know Christ. It extends to those believers of the past who have gone on to their eternal reward. Has the church been perfect? No. But we have so much to give thanks for our local church, for all churches, and for God's church, for what they've been for in the past, and what it's going to be in the future. Let us give thanks to God for our country. Now, I once took a Russian history course, okay, and the course was mainly centering on the times when it was communism. How many people in communist Russia at the time were still thankful for their country? Okay? Now, I'm not saying they liked the government, but they were thankful for the homeland. They found things that even though They may not like it all, everything that was going on. They were still thankful for their homeland. Now, I understand that at times it can be hard to be thankful for our government or for wherever we are. And today is no exception in our political climate right now. But all around the world and here in the USA, we should take time to see the blessings that we have to be where we are. The blessings that we have. Maybe a little more thanks, as you said it before, would change a lot of attitudes. And it would spread in different ways that we never thought possible. Let us give thanks to God for our family. The Bible says that we are to honor and respect our parents, right? Thank you, okay? We are to obey them, the Lord says. Wyatt, where'd Wyatt go? Okay, he knew this was coming, so he's out of here. But the Bible tells us to respect them, to obey them. Have you ever noticed, though, what the Bible doesn't say? It doesn't say as long as they're perfect, or as long as they do everything right, or as long as they give us everything that we want, or even if they're, or it doesn't even say that they have to be showing love to us, to be respected and honored. Now, I understand that there are different situations that take place. We have a lady that within our church, Cynthia, that deals with that all the time. But the Bible does not say to respect only when we feel like it. It doesn't say when we become adults that we stop respecting them. My dad would say that we still have to obey him. There comes a day when we may have to take care of our parents because they have difficulties with themselves. Many of us grew up in a Christian home that we need to be thankful for. We need to be thankful for Christian companions, a spouse. Who God has used to bless us. I was not supposed to be doing it like this morning. We can be thankful for our children. Gabby, I'm thankful for you. Especially those who are continuing their walk with Christ. And then try to be the influence for those who are not walking with Christ. I know some of us may not have had the same blessings as others have had in their families. But we still have those blessings to be thankful for. Again, sometimes we got to look deep. But if we would just take the time to find them. Let us give thanks to God for our personal blessings. You know, each and every one of us has been blessed with unique gifts, some of which are evident. A piano player, a choir director, a choir that is supposed to be able to sing. That's a joke, okay? A lot of people have been blessed with musical talent, sports talent, whatever it may be, things that are evident. However, more people have been blessed with the not-so-noticeable talents or gifts. Hospitality, gentleness, compassion, lifting other people up in prayer, doing the things that most others do not see. But believe me, people do see them, or they do feel them. We've all been blessed with gifts to lift one another up. Maybe they're not necessarily gifts that everybody sees out in the open, but we've all been blessed with something to be thankful for in helping people. Being thankful for those so-called little things which in reality are not little at all, because so many others are thankful for the so-called little gift that you did that somehow touched them in some way, shape, or form. And then let us give thanks to God for Christ. Let us give thanks to God for Christ. Of course, we've talked about this Thursday is, of course, Thanksgiving. As I said, many of us will get up and we'll watch the Macy's Day Parade. We'll start making the meal. We'll eat. Watch football. Was it Dallas and Lions this year? Is one of the games? Okay, I don't care who wins that game anyway. So, also know, will we be taking a nap? Eat some more turkey. Eat some more stuffing. Take another nap. And then we begin the season of preparing to celebrate Christmas. As was mentioned already, next week we have the hanging of the green. So when I'm talking about celebrating Christmas, I'm not talking about Black Friday. I'm talking about entering the Advent season. We will, of course, as I said, begin Advent next week with the hanging of the greens and the lighting of the first Advent candle. But what is Advent? I'm not looking necessarily for an exact definition, but Advent is the preparing of our hearts to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. But what does that mean? Why do we have to prepare? Or why do we celebrate the birth of Christ? And I thought about it, and I thought, well, maybe one of the ways that we could answer that question is if we went back to the early church and saw that they didn't even celebrate the birth of Christ. The birth of Christ was not celebrated necessarily in the church until right around 336 AD. Just a hundred years after the church started. That's when we have the first recorded celebration anyway. What the early church did celebrate and recognize was the teachings of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the promised return of Christ. And when you think about it, that is exactly what we celebrate in celebrating Christmas. If God would not have raised Jesus from the dead, there'd be no reason to celebrate Christmas. If Jesus had not given his teachings, there'd be no reason to celebrate Christmas. And if Jesus had not made that promise to one day return, and you put all those things together, his teachings, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and the promise that he will one day return to us, there's no reason to celebrate the birth of Christ. Because without those things, it's just another ordinary day. Whether it was on December 25th or not, which it probably wasn't. But we celebrate Christmas because of his teachings. Because he has died on the cross for us. Because God has raised him from the dead. And because we have the promise to know that one day he is going to rule completely. He will return. And celebrating the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Christ, and looking towards this promised return, we also remember that little day when Jesus was born to accomplish those things. But we also remember the prophecies that were told that day was going to take place to begin with. And we're also remembering the prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Yeah, we give gifts and we've entered the season. You know, it's a busy time of year. But let us not forget to give thanks for Christmas, even before we celebrate it. Being thankful doesn't happen automatically. Being thankful is a learned habit. The psalmist would encourage all of us to develop the habit of coming into the Lord's presence, as we've sang about, with thanksgiving. He would also encourage us to go out into our community express our thanks to God to those around us. And who knows? Maybe just a little bit of gratitude will go a long way that we'll never even know about. Let's pray. Lord, again, we do give you thanks today. We are thankful for the many ways you do touch our life, the blessings you've given to us, family, friends, but most of all, we thank you for who you are, the characteristics that show us you. We thank you for going to the cross, dying for us, rising again, the promise of your return. We thank you for forgiveness. Lord, again, help us. Help us to live in that attitude of gratitude and to spread and to show our testimony of our faith in you through that. We pray this together. Amen.